Step into the ribbon with us, gentle Patreon subscriber, and welcome to this month's edition of The Nexus. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside Steven Sadak and Eric Siska.
Talking Trek.
I thought you were going to say, snap into a Slim Jim.
Oh, snap into a Star Trek. I'm dead.
Oh, man.
Wow, it was a tragedy.
Man, Admiral Randy Savage.
That would be so great.
Hello, Admiral Savage.
Oh, yes. Snap into this Slim Jim we made for you in the replicator.
Oh, yeah. No more Shakespeare! It's banned from the holodeck! Robin Hood! Oh, man!
He just does fucking WrestleMania on the holodeck.
Oh, yeah.
Nonstop. Every time, really.
He keeps getting beaten by Hogan over and over again.
Can you imagine? Like, professional wrestlers would love the holodeck because they can bring back all their dead buddies.
Oh, that'd be
true.
Beautiful.
That's actually kind of beautiful.
Yeah. It's like a sweet little wrestler reunion on the holodeck. But before the holodeck.
When the Hulkster comes to the holodeck,
I'll see you again. Yeah. Man, we used to listen to the Hulkster in Heaven a lot.
Oh, that's man. Good. I can't. When he dies, it's going to be really great.
But first, before holodeck technology, we had the original series. The episode in question, Miri, original air date, October the 27th, 1966. This is an episode. It's the first of several. It looks like Earth, but it's not because we have no budget.
Well, exactly. You think that that's what the episode's going to be about because it's like, this planet eerily looks like Earth.
It's like exactly a duplicate of Earth.
Yeah,
like and that's the continents like crazy. Forms.
Exactly. Like,
that's like insane.
And
like,
nobody cares. Odds? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. They talk about it for 2 seconds and nobody cares.
That's the episode. Guess what? That's the episode.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly
wait,
right.
This has Great Lakes just like the United States does or did.
Yes. There's a Grand Canyon in this place.
Yep.
I love also that, you know, we beam down to this Earth replica, and of course we're just in California.
Yep.
Why don't you beam down to Africa?
No, soundstage, brother.
Yep. That's Mayberry.
It was. I mean, yeah.
It was Mayberry.
Oh, was it really Mayberry? Okay,
yep. That makes sense. Shared set.
It's just so clearly they just put them on a different soundstage, and it's like, oh, they're going to wear their space outfits, so sure.
But like, I don't care about this Children of the Corn horse shit. Find out why there's this duplicate Earth.
Exactly.
But no, it's a Children of the Corn thing where there's like a disease that kills you once you like get out of puberty or hit puberty or whatever.
Yeah.
It's called mortality. Yeah. Right? Like regular life.
That's
like,
kind of what we're talking about. It's like, yeah, you're dead when you the
right
second
when
you fucking stop playing with jacks, you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Right when you get fuzz where it used to not be. The ticking clock is here, my friends.
Oh, absolutely.
You are going to die.
The sands of time.
If you are listening to this right now, you are going to die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Might be tomorrow.
It might be yesterday.
Man, what are they, listen to this at someone's wake?
Please do not.
Ghost iTunes, brother. Yeah.
Well, he was a dedicated Patreon subscriber to We Hate Movies.
So one last ride.
And now watch us for the next hour just talk about fucking dicks and butts or something. Take that, Art's Funeral.
So, yeah, we get a distress signal. It's so eerily like Earth that it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's what? No, because Kirk's even like, oh, wow, that's an SOS. It's an Earth SOS.
Sure. And yeah, and like we're just on the soundstage. It's all abandoned at first.
It looks like a Death Wish neighborhood.
It does. Yeah, it looks like Bronson just cleaned this neighborhood.
Maybe you're welcome, Kirk.
Oh, man, maybe there's a disease and I am the cure.
Kaboom.
Take that, you virus.
That would be great because someone needs to start mowing these kids down
at a
certain point. Like, you know what? You're 300 years old.
Man.
You're a kid. You're fucking being eerie and creepy. You're getting shot in the fucking head.
Charles Bronson walks by, shoots two kids real quick, blows down the barrel of the gun. Truancy, officer.
Oh, nice.
You didn't produce a hall pass. Blammo. Now, the closest we do get is there is some serious William Shatner throwing kids around a little bit.
He's throwing around.
Not enough.
Not nearly enough.
No.
So we meet this weird feral guy. It's like he's like a legit zombie.
It's a straight up zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's like going after. And it's amazing because we're on this eerie planet that. And it's the beginning of like, what's this Star Trek about? Like, where's the God person? But no God person.
No.
But it's eerie Earth that isn't Earth. And then this guy comes out and he like starts clutching a bicycle and dies. And like he's really violent and starts to fight them. But the thing Kirk immediately was like, oh, he has the mind of a child. And I'm like, well, I don't know, that not necessarily.
Like, just because he was psyched about this tricycle doesn't mean he has the mind of a child.
I feel like that's what he would say about me. He's like, oh, he's wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt. He's got the mind of a child.
Well, you're right.
Well, that's like a get out of jail free card.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, not in Texas.
But they do mention this guy just like keels over and dies. Mm-hmm. And
After William Shatner beats the shit out of him, though, because he attacks Bones.
Oh, man, they all beat him up. Man. And then, it's like Rodney King or something. I know that it's a bad joke, but I'm serious. They just fucking start hammering this dude. They wail him.
It's a bunch of hammer punches.
And this guy looks like a mutant or a zombie.
He looks like, you know what he looks like exactly? Is the way that the zombies look at the beginning of Dawn of the Dead, where they're in that like apartment building and they're all blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's exactly what this dude looks like. And so they essentially beat him to death, and then they're kind of surprised that he died. I was like, come on.
Well, Spock is doing like the autopsy there, and he's just like, oh, he aged 100 years in a few seconds. Or something.
Oh, right.
But it's supposed to be the virus doing it or something. But
right.
He chose poorly.
No, he certainly did. That's not the tricycle of a carpenter.
And then we meet.
It's too new. Jim, it's too new. You need to choose the tricycle of an honest man, a working man.
It'd be a shitty tricycle, Jim. Well,
and this tricycle is rusted and doesn't have a front wheel, so it's accurate.
So we meet the titular Miri, who's played by Kim Darby of everything in the world.
Tons of shit.
She was see our episodes on Teen Wolf 2 and Halloween 6.
The Curse.
Curse of Michael Myers.
Yes, yeah. She's in both those movies.
Loomis in the morning.
That's a William Shatner mask, right? Or a Captain Kirk mask. Oh, wow.
That's right. Yeah. It absolutely is. That's right.
Her life came full circle. R.I.P.D.
It'd be weird if she, when
she's
she was
alive.
It'd be weird when she was getting killed by Michael Myers. And then she's like, Jim? And it's like,
You're very, very pretty, Miri.
Let's get into it. First things first, the actress is 19.
She's not.
At the time.
That's what they said legally.
But they're like,
I mean, that's like enlisting in NOM when you're not of age. Yeah, I'm 19. That's the fake age everyone gives. No, 18's too on the nose.
Yeah. So, no, I did the math on her age.
Oh yeah, you got the long form birth certificate. There,
I do not. No.
You got that, God! Babe? Don't become a Kim Darby birther, man. There's enough of them floating around.
But Darby truther.
So, she's playing. The idea of the planet is, it's very convoluted. They sure is. They create this serum that lets everyone age 1 month per 100 years. 100 years.
Wait, what the fuck are you talking about? There's a serum?
Yeah, that's what they did, right?
I thought that was just the way the world works in this.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I thought that's just what the planet was.
But, the virus is created by man or something.
Because they're trying to prolong their lives because they live.
The Steve might be onto something.
Yeah, they think they create a serum. It's like, oh, wow, it's cool because you only age 1 month per every 100 years.
That's
correct. Or something
correct.
Like that. And then. But it winds up killing any and all adults, but not children, until they reach what we're just calling maturity, which is puberty.
Pubes. Yeah, when they hit babedom, as Pauly Shore would say.
We just did that episode on Encino, man. Man?
They don't know that.
Well, they do now.
They will now. You're Patreon. You're cool. You know what's happening next month.
Oh, yeah. You get the list, man. You get the list. Hey, you get that list?
But she's supposed to play a prepubescent girl.
Right.
And, like, Jim is flirting with her immediately. He's like, mm-hmm. Well, you're very pretty, Miri. Oh, Miri, you're quite a... Miri, well, that's a pretty name.
He's in, like, a... he's a stranger in a strange land. Uh-huh. And, like, what is he going to do? He's going to... He uses his sexual magnetism, you know what I mean? To,
get the information he needs.
To get his way,
Well, he's also trying to convince her that, like, they're not going to murder her.
Right. Yes. We're going to bone instead.
Because she's very afraid of...
Did you call me, Jim?
No. Go away.
Turn that communicator off.
Quit fucking this up for me. Yeah, they do find her hiding in a closet, by the way.
Because she's very afraid of grown-ups, or as they called them annoyingly in this episode, grups.
Yeah, grups.
Yeah.
I was groanering.
He's all grupsed up. Mikey's all grupsed up.
Grups.
No, I'm a grup. Yeah, get that kid away from him, a grup.
Gruppy.
But And there's a bunch of silly words like about games and so on and so forth.
Yeah,
Grupp is the one I remember.
Grupp's the one they say the most. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really paying attention about the rest of them, but they're all equally annoying.
So we find this out. It's this eerie thing. And like Spock and these red shirts who don't die but disappear.
They kind of just get lost from the party, which I don't understand. Because when Bones is attacked... Spock goes like hunting with them later.
Yeah.
Cause like there's all these like kid giggles that are happening.
It's creepy as all fuck.
And we're trying to get to the bottom of this and, they start like throwing shit at him or something.
Yeah.
And Spock yells, he's like, agents! Like he calls them agents?
This is a weird episode. No Uhura, no Sulu, and no Scotty.
Nope.
There's some white guy sitting in Uhura's seat, and I'm like, who's this white guy? Get him out of here.
Like, why do I want to watch Star Trek on fucking, like, vacation times? Like, when someone's on vacation.
Yeah, like, I don't care. Like, did she have an audition that week? Like, what's going on?
Maybe she's trying to get off the show.
They're doing, like, na-na-na-na-na-na, which is really creepy.
Or, like, the thing that's, like, the most frightening ever is, like, a gaggle of children laughing. Just at, like, and you can't find the source of the laughter. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's bone chilling.
Because Spock comes back to throw a bunch of rocks at him. He's like, they scattered like mice, Captain. Which is kind of a weird thing. He's like, I couldn't catch them. I would have thrashed them with my fists.
Couple of good hammer punches, Captain. Take those fuckers out.
On Vulcan, if you get an answer wrong, you get a hammer punch. If you show emotion, you get a hammer punch.
They beat the logic into you, green-blooded Vulcans, don't they?
They do, you racist fuck. You'll get a hammer punch.
I'll hammer punch your old racist balls.
Well, the funny thing is
I'll be shooting morphine.
They find out immediately that the human crew is infected with this virus.
Right.
And Spock isn't. And like, Bones has been given a death sentence, right? And like, Spock's kind of the only person that could help. He's like, well, I guess that the bugs don't like your green-blooded slime in your blood. And I'm like, dude, racist to the end, huh?
Oh, till his last breath, dude.
You fucking scumbag.
I love him. Love him. Best character.
Yeoman Rand is on this trip as well.
That's right.
More Yeoman Rand in this show than I remember. I mean, you know.
As it turns out, she's only on like 8 episodes.
Oh, really?
So okay. We get it out of the way. Also, this is the crazy fucked up thing that she wrote about in her autobiography.
Oh, really? What's that?
That, like, at the rap party for this episode, she was sexually assaulted by who she just says was an executive producer on the show, Gene Roddenberry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah, oh,
I totally believe that.
You sure do.
Mm-hmm, that's
awful. It's fucked up. Mm-hmm. Sorry to sour the mood, but that is a bit of Trek trivia that's important to fucking talk about.
Yeah, put that on the IMDb.
That's where I found it.
Really?
It's there, because she wrote it in her book.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, no, it's there.
Get the word out, everyone.
Yep, Gene Roddenberry was a scumbag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a huge surprise.
So yeah, they start getting these like blue splotches on their hands and whatnot, and
which is just like fucking cornmeal, like dyed blue, stuck to them.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a delicious candy I eat.
It does.
Some sort of blue flavored candy. You know, the blue flavor.
Yeah, but it's like a raspberry, right?
Yeah, mm. Like a blue raspberry.
Oh yeah.
It gave me the raspberry.
Shut up before you get a hammer punch.
Why don't you blow a raspberry on this tummy?
I told you not to talk. Crack. He does love a good hammer punch, but
sure.
It's a Star Trek disease. It's not enough to that it gets blue shit on you. It's got to give you space mad.
Right.
Right.
It's like a fever and madness.
And it makes you violent for some reason.
You got pain in your extremities. He looked at Jim when he said that. I thought that meant like a dick pain.
Oh, no. My dick hurts. You better get a cure for this immediately, Bones. I can't have my dick hurting.
I'm trying to make moves on this 13-year-old girl.
That's the thing, Jim. You're in the clear. This is technically another Earth. The Prime Directive does not stand. You can interfere all you want, Jim.
I would hope in the Federation, the age of consent is like 21. You know what I mean? That's sure. got to go up. Lower, you think it's
way,
lower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Like you go, because think about this, like only a small amount of people get the great jobs of being Starfleet. There's a bunch of other like space farmers.
Sure.
Moisture farmers, like Uncle Owen and stuff. And they're just marrying.
And his child bride, Anne Peru. No, but like, Mormon ceremony.
I feel like people are just like, yeah, yeah, you're 12. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Go to work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's the definitely population. Some outskirts for
the,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. The outer rim territories, the unknown regions. Please. And think about all the population. Mm-hmm. It's got to be crazy.
Yeah. Or the neutral zone. I don't want to know what goes on in there.
Yeah. International waters.
The one hilarious bit of casting in this is like, so like we've been saying is you get, when you hit puberty and you get this disease and die quite quickly. Yet we have Michael J. Pollard, character actor, actor Michael J. Pollard, who's appeared in a lot of movies we've done on the show.
Bonnie and Clyde as well.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 27 in this. When they filmed this episode, he was 27, and boy, he looks every day of it.
He does. I mean, like he's short, you know, like, but he's not. And he's like really even more childish than like Kim Darby. He's like, I don't trust those grumps. Let's play hopscotch. And I'm but like, you're 30.
He's saying this shit, 30. And he's like talking like a baby, but he's wearing like a flak jacket. Like he looks like he's protesting Vietnam.
He does. Looks like it's off the set of fucking Jesus Christ Superstar or something.
Tell me what's happening, Grupp.
Grupp. Man, he's saying Grupp.
He says Grupp the most.
He does. And but the funny thing is, it's like him in a room of legit children.
Right, which is why he stands out even more.
Because I understand like the instinct, right? You don't want to have some dead-eyed baby like running the episode. You need to get a seasoned actor in there, but you know,
I guess Clint Howard wasn't available.
No, exactly. Or Ronnie. Ronnie was probably busy.
Oh yeah, no, Ronnie's above. He's a cut above this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ronnie wasn't doing Star Trek. No. Clint. Yeah, Clint's gonna do some Star Trek. Clint did Star Trek. Yeah, he played a baby.
That's why I brought him up.
Oh,
when did he play a baby?
In that episode where he's like a genius baby.
It's
man.
Like kind of like a god baby.
Oh, I like
something
that.
Like that.
Well, I'll look forward to
you
that.
You never saw the Clint Howard god baby episode?
I did not see the Clint Howard god baby.
He looks distinctly unsettling, like Clint Howard, but halfway like
was he bald
a
yet?
Baby. I think he was kind of.
Listen, let's just say for the purposes of this character, he was cast because he looks like Clint Howard.
Mm.
All right. It's a thing where correct me if I'm wrong.
Who's
here.
That? Hey, Bones. Who's that ugly child?
Are they? Like he's talking. Are they dubbing his voice with an adult?
Yes, I believe they.
Oh,
are.
That's even creepy.
It's fucking weird.
Bone chilling.
Yeah. So speaking of bone chilling, Bones sets to work. Of course, we got to try to find a cure because we can't take this shit back to the ship with us.
But the other thing is though, like so, like what they do is the ship. They scan the area and they're like, you can breathe. Bring everybody down there. Like, we're not going to send like a search party or like test the air quality or like they immediately contract this fatal disease.
And that is Jim Kirk's fault, man, because he's like, let's just beam down. And it's like, no, man, you have to take precautions just because it's a Class M planet and your scanner says you can breathe oxygen. Fuck you. Put a suit on.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, we were collecting moon rocks for years before someone took their helmet off. There.
Exactly. You keep that shit on. You wrap it up, Jim Kirk. I know it's the 60s and you hate that idea, but you wrap that shit up.
It doesn't feel as good when I go down to a planet.
When I'm beaming on a planet and experiencing the wild.
It's okay, Jim. It's technically legal right now.
So, they all get a fatal disease. And he's like, no one else come down here. Because they're like, Captain, we'll bring people. That's like, no. I've already sentenced the entire senior staff to death.
Yeah, that's right.
And Spock does have it, so he can't go back up.
Right. He's like, I am still a carrier, Captain. They don't want to kill me, but I still carry it.
Like, but it's funny because it's like, I do really want to go back on the ship.
I would prefer to leave you all here for dead. Why not?
I got a good book up there.
At some point, these little mongrels steal their communicators. So, because the whole thing is they got to like beam down Bones' like fucking travel science station or some nonsense. And he's trying to like produce a cure, but they need the computer that's up on the ship, but then they can't communicate. So these kids are like trying to sentence them to death. At some point, Spock does a calculation where he figures out they have 7 days.
Yeah.
7 days. You watched that videotape. 7 days.
You saw that girl crawl out of the well, Captain.
And then Jim, it was the strangest thing. The phone rang and I picked it up. Unbelievable. It's the guy from Torque. He's dead, Jim.
Mike Dexter.
No, that's not Mike Dexter.
That's not Mike Dexter?
It's,
who's that
like
guy?
Like Martin something.
Ah, should have been Mike Dexter.
Yeah.
Peter Facinelli.
The wrong kid died.
You know, here's something. Speaking of being put to death or just dying, I don't know why they need to be dead. At least, did someone get fired over whoever greenlit that new Rings movie that came out?
Somebody must have.
I don't know.
Who that thought probably, that was a good idea?
Probably did well in foreign territories.
I don't know, but like, what
it bombed
the fuck?
Here, man. Nobody wanted it.
Like, who cares?
Was that like a, what was that about? Was it like a team up? Didn't they do a team up movie?
They did.
Like Ringu versus
but that
fucking
was,
Tapeworm or whatever the fuck.
It was from Japan, and it was the
I guess that's what I'm thinking of.
It was the monster, the whatever from Ringu versus
The Grudge.
The Grudge. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, so that's okay. So that's not what we're talking about. What is
no?
What is
in America, thing? We made Hollyweird themselves put out a new Ring movie this year called Rings, and nobody gave a flying fart.
Now I'm just imagining Godzilla like chomping into a building in Japan, but that tape is playing and it like catches his eye and then he goes on to something else and a phone rings and Godzilla's like, ah! And he picks it up and it's like, 7 days, Godzilla.
That would be awesome.
That'd be a great team up because she'd be supernatural. She could go through anything. Godzilla could dish out.
Totally. And then like you just find Godzilla, he's fucking awkwardly contorted and water's falling out of his mouth in front of a television. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very interesting.
And then the ring girl would be the king of the monsters, which is, you know, that's something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a step in the right direction for women monsters.
Exactly.
Like her crawling up the Empire State's building backwards.
Exactly.
Being shot at by the Air Force.
they steal the communicators, and Jim has to go over there and try and reason with them because Bones has this. He's made a cure, but he's not sure. And he's like, it could be a vial full of death. Jim.
Oh, right. That's a great line.
Mm-hmm.
Also around here is when Yeoman Rand is like freaking out and she's got this fucked up line where she's like, you know, Captain, I'm always trying to get you to look at my legs. Well, look at my legs now. And like we cut down to this close up of her thighs.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
But she's got like the blue shit all over it. But then so Miri sees this and gets jealous.
Those are clean legs. Ooh. Oh, my God. Look how clean those legs are.
So then Miri decides to like help them, you know, fuck with these guys and steal the communicators and everything. So Kirk somehow then convinces her to like take him to this Children of the Corn gang of
sexual
children.
Sexual seduction.
Because he does. He's flirting with her like a blue streak.
Oh, my God. Like I was taking my clothes off right now, and it's 30 years later. Whatever the fuck.
Oh, but also they kidnap her. The children kidnap Yeoman Rand.
Yes, and he's like, tell me where Janice is. And she's like, you like her more than me. And it's like, I don't know, dude. Like, I'm dying right now.
I like a lot of people.
I didn't know we were exclusive.
There's a little kid.
I didn't give you my Letterman jacket.
There's a little kid who's like Michael J. Pollard's number two.
Yeah, that kid's creepy looking.
This little weirdo, he's trying to like, he's plotting to murder them all with this hammer that he has. Yeah. And this is this dude's thing. He's like, I want to bang, bang. Bang, bang them.
Yeah.
And you're just like, cool. Hey, cool.
It was that little kid from the Flintstones, right? Bam, bam.
Bam, bam, yeah.
Yeah, that was Bam, bam.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, bam versus Ringu.
Bam, bam. So he picks up a turtle and it says, 7 days.
It's a living. So then, like, Kirk, of course, has this big Kirk scene where he's like
in a classroom.
Yeah, like he's yelling at all these kids, and he's just like, "Don't you want to grow up to be adults? All your friends are dying. You don't think they all have it? Well, they all have, and they're all dying.
He's like, you'll die eventually." And they're all like beating him up. And at this point, I'm sorry, Kirk, you got to start dropping these kids and not throwing them out. Yeah. We're closed fisting.
I would kill every kid there.
Hammer punch. They're 300 years old or exactly. Whatever the fuck.
It's legal to kill them, Jim.
They had a good run. Mm-hmm. 300 years? Jesus Christ.
I'd be punting kids through windows.
Of course. He also gets tackled by like a female mutant or someone dying of this disease.
Oh, that's right. And it's kind of great because, she like zombie jumps him.
Dead by dog! Dead by dog!
There's like this deer head yelling at him. But then it's fucking great because Kirk like throws her and shoots her with the phaser and just drops her.
And she's like, fucking dies.
He's just like, "Oh no, but my phaser was clearly set to stun."
Right, yeah, Mary? Yeah, stun. Okay, we're going to get our story straight right now. Yeah.
If the Admiral comes looking, we know it was set to stun.
Yeah, but yeah, he just murders.
But
that
also,
girl.
That raises a good question about setting it to stun. Like, right. I don't know. What if I got a heart condition? You know what I mean? That's, like, what?
Totally.
Like, tasers kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you I'm fucked sure up my pacemaker thing. With your stun.
Exactly.
Or if you, you shoot someone in the face, like
yeah. What exactly? How close are you? That could be a thing.
It's all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucked up. But yeah, we just set stuff to stun, and that's like your legal defense, Kirk. Okay,
I had it on the green setting. So he convinces them to give him the thing. After all, like after he throws a couple of kids,
there's actually the kid with the hammer. It's a fucking awesome like because they all kind of like. Like TV rough up Shatner, uh-huh. And then they've just got like blood on like Shatner's face or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you see him, the kid with the hammer is like standing on a desk. You totally see William Shatner grab this child and drag him to the floor.
Nice.
And then you can tell it's Shatner trying to cover it up. He like he continues to hold on to his arm and then like sort of pulls him back up a little bit.
He's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, left in the episode.
Well, because it was clearly like the fourth take of that day. This kid's gonna blow it again.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking drag this little shit down.
I want lunch. God damn it.
So yeah, like,
but also bring Spock and Bones. Then you're mm-hmm. fucking. You know what are they doing?
They're just in the lab, like just looking at these vials.
And then
it's logical to hammer punch all of these children.
Hammer punch them to death, Captain. But because he's left to just sit on his thumbs, Bones is like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna take matters into my own hands," and he drinks this serum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, this beaker full of death.
It was either that or kill those enemy combatants.
That's what those children are.
They are. Oh, absolutely. You're in no hostile rights. Territory. No,
it's another Earth.
Mm-hmm. Who cares?
It's different.
There's a great part where Shatner's yelling at these kids, and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And it's just William Shatner going, "No, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
line.
Some of these classroom stuff's good. So, I mean, like, basically, they get the, it works. They get the communicators back. They go back to the ship. Do they give the cure to the kids? They must, right?
They do, and they mention how, like, this is a great thing because, like, Starfleet doesn't exist yet, so he's like, "I sent word to Space Command," or whatever yeah. it is, and he's like, you know, they're basically, like, they're sending adults to the planet to watch these kids, and Bones is like, "Hope there's a fucking truant officer that's coming."
"Oh, don't worry, Bones. There's a nuke on the planet. I left a nuke. This is all going up." Yeah. There is no space.
They should blow up the planet.
Yeah,
there
from space. Absolutely.
Another Earth is an abomination. It
totally.
Exist. But by the way, there is a line that...
Kirk's creepiest line in the episode?
Yes.
Go for it.
I don't get involved with older women. Like, that's why he doesn't
bring
Miri up or whatever. He's just like, "She was fake young, you understand?" Yeah, it was just a fake young.
She had work done.
That was stolen virginity, Jim. It's like stolen valor?
Yeah.
Like stolen valor.
It's the same thing.
But yeah, it's just, and we end on this shot of
it's
Kirk.
It's like a laugh line, practically.
And he's just smugly like, "Oh, that was fucking funny, Jim."
You all better laugh.
"You're the funniest man on the ship, Jim." They all laughed at your joke, Jim.
"Oh, Jim, you killed it."
Remember when Yeoman Rand wanted you to look at her legs? Yeah, you're so hot, Jim.
He's like, oh, wait, Space Command is getting back to me. He picks up the communicator.
7 days.
Bones, we have to find a cure for the ring girl.
Oh, no, we're going to Brian Cox's house. He's going to kill himself.
Oh, man, that is one of cinema's greatest suicides.
Top five.
Captain, there's a bunch of Asian children coming out of the computer screens.
That Brian Cox suicide, as cool as it is fucking overkill, mm-hmm. though.
Well, it's like he's got all these wires, and he goes in the bathtub.
It's a whole house. Mm-hmm. The whole house is wired into that bathtub. It's outrageous.
I mean, he's a big guy, but it doesn't take that much.
Oh, I mean, this thing could fucking take down 4 horses. There's a great horse death in that movie, too.
Great horse death. Capital horse death.
Oh, man, it's been too long since I've seen this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that first American Ring, the Ring movie is kind of
totally
fun.
Yeah.
That second one sucks, though. That never didn't even exist. And then this
Book of Shadows, right?
Martin Henderson is that guy.
Who?
Martin Henderson.
From Torque?
Yes, from Torque and okay. From The Ring and other things.
Wow, good job.
Yeah, thought it through.
I love Torque, Jim. It's my night to pick the movie, Jim. We're watching Torque.
It's a classic film, Jim.
It's from Earth 1,000 years ago.
Who else is in Torque? Is Bill Bellamy in Torque?
No, you're still thinking of that one show that was on Fox.
Oh, yeah, I've done this a bunch.
Fastlane, you're thinking about, the TV series.
Which I've never seen. I've only seen commercials for it. Yeah, I don't know why it's so burned in my brain.
Because Mick G was involved.
Yeah.
Oh. Mick G was the be-all and end-all of the aughts.
That's right. Love Mick G, Jim. He's an auteur.
It's my night to pick the movie, and we're going to watch that goddamn Bare Naked Ladies video 1,000 fucking times.
Jim, I'm writing a thesis for my film criticism degree on how Mick G is an auteur.
Doctor, it's illogical for you to get a useless degree. You're a doctor.
I call it crashes do cinema. He liked car crashes. Sort of, kind of.
Did Mick G direct both of those Charlie's Angels movies?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. And one Terminator film.
Oh.
Salvation.
Right.
That was his swan song. Mm. Goodbye. He's gone now, right?
Yeah, he's done.
He's dead.
Lock no, him. He's not dead.
He's now a computer ghost.
Yeah, his holograph is his hologram is directing episodes and things. Yeah, so that's it. I don't know. It's kind of an okay.
See, a weaker one for me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see what's happening in just a few moments as we flash forward a few hundred years to is it 100 years or 75 years?
I never know the
Hundo?
Time.
Hundo?
Yeah, something like that. Point is, up next, Star Trek: The Next Generation. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the program. Star Trek The Next Generation, of course. The episode in question, Hide and Q. Original air date, November the 21st, 1987. What a stupid title.
By the way, directed by Cliff Bohl, big time T.J. Hooker director.
Is that right?
Yes, he's done a ton of episodes.
Shit. Yeah. Check out Eric's podcast, Hooked on T.J. Hooker.
But it's just funny. Shatner.
Yeah.
This guy's worked with them all the greats.
All the greats. Michael Dorn, all of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Greats like William Shatner, Michael Dorn.
Don't forget Jonathan Franks.
Oh, yeah.
Franks?
Frakes.
Oh, it's not
you always want. No, trust me.
I
want
to say Franks.
You want to get the N in there because that's a name. Frakes is
Frakes,
what's a freak?
What the fuck is that? What's
fuck a freak?
You.
What's a freak?
What's a Siska?
It's a pine cone.
It is.
So this episode, it's a classic example of there's a fucking horrendous thing happening and then we ignore it immediately.
Yep, it's a Next Generation tradition.
Because it's like Captain's Log, there's a fucking genocide afoot, Mr. Data. Or like some like horrendous accident.
It was like a mine
Mr.
explosion.
Mr. Data, get my genocide cap out. I've got some thinking to do.
I've got to go snooping around this genocide.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And then he's like, oh, Dr. Crusher, do you have room for another 300 people?
Yeah, no, it's really going to be a problem.
And she's like, yeah, sure. I mean, you see sickbay every episode. There's like 6 of us, but that's fine. Yeah, bring another 400 people on board. And it's
we'll
all
just like light ray them to good.
Yeah. And now my question before, because Q interrupts this and then it's forgotten about almost entirely. But before that happens, did you guys notice this? I've never noticed this before since on Next Gen. And maybe I'm just like not looking hard enough, but it struck me this episode. What is with the wallpaper on the Enterprise? This is different looking wallpaper.
Is it really? I didn't notice it.
It's fucking weird. It's like we're at the Max.
Really?
I mean, it's just this like wavy design, and it's just in this one shot at the beginning where Dr. Crusher's like, you know, she's like briskly walking down the
sometimes
hallway.
Sometimes you'll get a weird hallway and you're like, where the fuck are we?
I think
we?
They're recycling it from like Roseanne or something.
Oh, man. Oh, that's why the couch with that quilt was there. Oh, of course.
Like a Data laughing and grabbing all the poker chips. Great intros. I love the intros.
Oh, mm-hmm. Totally. They were the best.
Spinning around.
But yeah, I just, I was like, what is with the wallpaper? Anyway. But
we also
them.
Drop off. We've dropped off Deanna Troi somewhere else.
So oh, like, right.
Oh, it's Captain's log. Deanna Troi is just busy today.
Yeah,
her and Chris Cabot fucking off somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, they just always just skirt their responsibilities. Mm-hmm.
So we're on the bridge. We're trying to take care of this mining accident where there's like hundreds of casualties, and then Q drops in. Sure.
In the form of a snake, a three-headed snake, which yep. is pretty cool.
Like out of an orb. Is yes. this his actual yeah. form? I think this is real life.
No, he says that, yeah. Oh, I'm a Telubrian bull snake or whatever.
Yeah, it's some not bullshit thing. It looks like something from Mario 2.
It does.
But what's funny is it's still just sounding like John DeLancey, which is pretty great.
He's but, fantastic.
Oh, he's amazing. He actually, the cool thing you can read on the Tribune about this episode is that the dude who wrote it went back and watched Encounter at Farpoint to like get the way Q spoke and everything. And apparently, when DeLancey got to set, because this is only the second time he yeah. played Q, he was so good. Like, he's just such a fucking professional that he instantly was able to turn it back on. And like that dude was like, holy fuck. Like, he's just got it already. Like, no direction. Remembered the character.
There's something really funny about this. And when Q comes back and like, it's like that old TV thing. Cause like, where, you know, it's such serialized television where like Picard has to be like, the last time we saw you was at Farpoint and you yep. put us through these other tests.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember the pilot. Do you remember the pilot?
Several of you weren't watching then. So let me fill you in on what you missed. Q right. put humanity on trial.
Doug, it's not in reruns yet. Hold on, Doug. Hello, Doug. Attention up here. You don't want to miss this, Doug.
What I love too is when he turns. So he's like, you know, he's like, you know, Q, the last time we saw you at Farpoint, you didn't look like a three-headed snake. And he's like, oh, well, maybe you'd prefer this form. And he turns into John DeLancey wearing like an admiral's outfit. Cut to Worf jumping over like the banister on the bridge and fucking drawing on this dude immediately.
And like, DeLancey is weird. I mean, Q is weirdly racist to Worf. Can we just call it racism?
Macro head,
micro brain, and like,
yeah.
And like, Worf, because he doesn't have a handle on the character yet, he growls at him.
Yeah, you get that Worf growl in this show. Like, it's there.
No,
it's
he
real.
He shouldn't be growling like a
really?
Dog.
Well, he's a Klingon, right?
Yeah, but,
it's not even that Klingon
that's
thing.
Like
it's
a dog, right? Klingons are like dogs. Yeah.
Pretty much.
But it's just him going... And you're like,
get off my leg, Worf.
Mr. Data, Worf urinated in my ready room again. Clean that carpet, toilet bot.
Tell him it's not his, it's mine. No, Worf.
Worf, the line must be drawn here. Stop urinating in my ready room.
If you were any other man, I'd kill you where you stand.
Man, that's a fucking great confrontation in that movie. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, yes.
Which movie was that in?
First Contact.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Where it's like Picard fucking calls Worf a coward or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. That's good.
He's like, oh, you're on a fucking Deep Space Nine now, you coward? He's like,
it's actually a good show, Captain. It got good once I got on there.
So, Q zaps everyone to a green planet, which is also... M-class, who would have guessed it?
What are the odds? We don't need a suit for this one.
Uh-huh, and we're all, it's Yar, Worf, Geordi, and Riker.
And Data.
And Data as well. And
Picard is hilariously left on the bridge, and like the computer's unresponsive. He can't open any doors.
It's a little good bit of comedy, and he's just like sitting down, like, Captain's Log. Oh, damn it.
Oh, the computer. Oh, hello. Hello.
How am I going to remember this tomorrow? Oh, my notes. My notes.
So they're on this planet, and Q comes down, and he's dressed like a fucking Napoleonic general or whatever, and he's just like, now we're going to play a game, Riker.
Yeah, it's all about Riker. He gives them lemonade, and then like he gives
everybody... That lemonade looked nice and frosty, by the way. You see that fucking glass?
Until they said it was lemonade, I was like, they're pouring out Fresca. They have Fresca.
Oh, man, a Fresca? That's a good. That's a refreshing drink.
That's what you want.
It is.
Also, what's
Ted Knight shows up? How about a Fresca?
What's weird? You guys notice this? John DeLancey's haircut totally changes when they get to this planet.
I did not notice. I was too mesmerized by the performance.
When he's like, when he's Admiral Q, like on the bridge at the beginning, he's got this weird like Caesar looking cut. His hair's like noticeably longer. It's like George Clooney's ER haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they cut to the planet, it's like short cropped, popped up. How you know Q to look.
Seinfeld haircut, kind of.
Yeah, just without the that Seinfeldian mullet.
No. But, so yeah, basically he's like, oh, we're going to play a game. It's going to be a war game. And then, like, Yar goes to the penalty box.
Yeah.
Welcome to the penalty box. Oh, this club is 21 and up.
So it's just sending her back to the bridge where she sits and does nothing for the episode.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. She cries and Picard's like, it's okay to cry in the penalty box.
That's a weird line.
Sure is.
There's no crying in this penalty box. Rawr. So
2-for-1 mojitos in the penalty box.
That's a pretty good deal.
You better not fucking cry when you drink it, though. The penalty box.
Wait, is the club named Penalty Box?
Yeah.
We play Scattergories all day long.
People used to gather here on Wednesdays to watch Lost together.
It's really just kind of a regular bar, but I work here.
I'm the biggest fucking creep in town. The actual name of this bar is called O'Malley's. I just like to call it the penalty box.
Oh, my God.
But it's disgusting. A classic Q move because he's like, now if the rest of you fuck around, Yar is going to get replaced by you in the penalty box, and she disappears. But the reality is she's just back on the ship, and he's just toying with people.
And then he sends all these like pig-faced goons after him.
Animal things. One of my favorite lines in the show is when like they relay to Picard what happened, and he's like, oh, we got attacked by these animal things. Animal things?
I mean, you're an off. Come on, do better than animal things.
Well, what were they? Come on.
Were they Klingons? That's an animal thing.
You guys notice that... Did you guys notice that...
Down, boy.
Patrick Stewart is looking tan as fuck in this episode.
Oh, he just came back from Cabo, you think?
I think it's just... Yeah, it's Patrick Stewart, man, living in L.A. Oh, I got an apartment with a patio. Hey, Michael Dorn, want to come over to my patio apartment?
Oh, wow.
I've been tanning.
Could you imagine those parties, dude? Could you imagine going to a party with Patrick Stewart in, like, 1989 or 7 or something?
Fuck, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's awesome. Because, like, think about how cool Patrick Stewart is now. Mm-hmm. He was just as cool back then.
Doing all kinds of drugs.
He's wearing like an electric blue suit with a black t-shirt. Oh, that's what you're doing.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. And everyone is doing just piles of cocaine.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he's got like his pinkies, fingers a little longer than normal.
Yeah, I'm doing some fucking space show. It's great. Oh, yeah, man. But it's all about the Shakespeare. But right now, it's paying the bills. That thing's fucking stupid. It's going to get canceled in a week.
There's a great moment here. Speaking of like this being the first season, not having a grip on the characters, where Riker or LaForge, somebody is like, they're like, oh, where's Worf? And someone's like, oh, he's out on the third ridge. And Brent Spiner, not doing Data, just goes, the third ridge?
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, dial it back, robot.
You didn't get no emotion chips in there.
Also, this is, speaking of Patrick Stewart and Shakespeare, this is some Patrick Stewart grade A Shakespearing against Q, because Q brings up something, and then he goes off. I think he's quoting Hamlet.
Yeah, he's just correcting him.
Oh, man. And Patrick Stewart launches into this soliloquy. Oh, it's fucking where you want to be.
So Riker gets Q powers. That's kind of the thing.
That's the thrust of this episode.
It's like, Oh, we're going to give him Q powers, and like, will he? It's the great. We realize that human beings might eventually outrank the Q in like an eon, and we're kind of playing the long game. So let's get a human Q now.
Right.
And you know, he's got Q powers. He defeats the dog man. We go back to the bridge, and then that's when you get the great animal things. That doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Vicious like, animal things.
We wind up back on the planet, and now Wesley shows up out of nowhere. I'm like, where the fuck has Wesley been? Like, leave him out of this.
Yes. Yeah. Leave him out of the whole show.
This is around the creepiest part of this episode, where Q decides he's going to turn into Data.
Oh, yeah. That's
and it's
pretty
John
weird.
Delancey just dressed up like Data. Yeah. Ooh, fuck. That's weird.
It's disturbing.
It's really fucking disturbing.
Yeah. Excuse me, are you an android face?
Oh shit, yeah, it's offensive.
That is a very offensive.
Q, yeah. I find that offensive. Captain, I'd like to report this man to HR. I'd like to report this god being to HR.
These aren't the old days of family matters with the Urkel bot. There's a good special on PBS about how bad that is. That ages real poorly once real robots are around.
Oh man, Urkelbot. That was unfortunate.
That's unfortunate for everybody.
Not as unfortunate as Stefan Urkel, but still pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, not fun.
Or not as unfortunate as Myrtle Urkel. Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
That was Jaleel White dressed up as a girl.
It was like his cousin, and like it was funny for people. Like for people, it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
For Jaleel White, it was humiliating.
So, you know, they piss Q off, and he's like, fine. Now the pigmen are coming back, and they come back, and they have these muskets, and it's a great scene. Because
Love it.
Worf gets killed. Bayonets. Worf gets killed immediately because he takes away all their phasers, so he's like trying to like be a tough guy and take them down. They zap him pretty bad.
Oh, this is where it's fucked up because Yar is like, My phaser's gone. And she goes, Worf, are you armed? Yeah. And I was like, oh, cool line. And then like Dorne can't even be like, ah, what? And he's like stabbed immediately. Because all these pigmen have bayonets.
Yeah, everyone's getting ganked.
And then Wesley gets it through the back, through the stomach. And I'm like,
I
yes!
loved it. I was like, yes, yes, yes.
I want to make this my fucking Twitter avatar. I almost took a picture tempting. Of it. Yeah. It was awesome.
I was like, that could be a good cover image.
There's still time.
There is still time.
Oh, it's fucking great.
But then Riker as Q, I think Riker is resistant to being Q at first. He's like, oh, you know, I don't like you. He says, I don't even like you, Q. And that's when he sinks the pigment on them.
Yeah.
But then he brings everybody back to the ship. And
back to life.
Back to life. And Picard is like, all right, but you have to give up your god power because you're only number one. I'm above you.
Yeah. And it's a weird thing where he's like, I don't even know how to advise you. You're a fucking god man. And like immediately Riker starts acting like an asshole. Like he's calling him Jean-Luc all the time.
They go to a plant. They go to this catastrophe. They find a little girl and he doesn't bring her back to life because he's not supposed to, because that would be using his... Like,
he promised Picard he'd stop doing it.
Yeah. So he like keeps his word. And then he comes back, he's all fucking sore about it. And that's when he starts calling him Jean-Luc, etc.
Yeah.
So this gets to the best scene of the entire episode, end of the series thus far.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I want to give all my... he decides to become a Q, and he's like, before I leave, I want to give everyone a gift, because they're my friends.
All
like,
my friends!
Here's to all my friends!
It's Data, did you get warm beer?
We all got warm beer. Someone put salt in this beer? My God, what a barfly.
Holodeck and simulation barfly.
Evan Williams?
I mean, really, Frank Stallone. I'm going to have to fucking look at Frank Stallone?
Kind of ruins the whole thing.
You know what's a fun game to play? Fucking with Frank Stallone on Twitter, but he doesn't know you're fucking with him.
That's
an Eric Sisko pastime.
He follows me on Twitter, yeah, and I'll quote tweet him, and I'll double down on his horrific Trump shit, and he'll just be like, "Yeah, favorite," but everyone knows I'm making fun of him.
Yeah, everybody knows.
It's pretty great.
So he decides to go to everyone in the cast and give them a gift. The first one he gives is Wesley. And like, there's this weird thing where like Crusher is like, don't do it, don't do it. But he's like, ah. And then he's like, Mom, can I? And he's like, all right. And he makes him like this beefcake hunk.
Because so the thing is, I'm going to give them all what they've like always longed for.
Their secret desires. It's not like, yeah, it's not like he's like, here's a really nice watch. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Or here's a couple hundred space bucks. You
PlayStation
know?
4. What the fuck am I going to do with this?
It's an antique.
Oh, wow. This is the best flute I've ever seen. Oh, it's my dream come true.
But like Wesley Crusher becomes like a different person.
Yes.
Like, I think the idea was to be like grown up.
He wants to be a grown up.
But could you imagine a universe where Will Wheaton didn't look grotesque and looked like this dude? Come on.
Will Wheaton doesn't look grotesque.
He's just he's Will Wheaton. He's a weird nerdy guy, like all of us. But he's not this beefcake. That's
no,
for sure.
I mean, this is this guy. Ooh, he's cut.
He's cut. He's but, cut. They keep his like Will Wheaton voice.
It's
like,
so
little
disturbing.
Kid.
Also it's stupid. Disgusting.
That's a what? Curse, by the way. Like, yep. Oh, I'm this cool beefcake, but I sound like a weird little boy.
Because can you imagine he goes into 10 forward and he's like, let's get this shit wet.
Oh, absolutely.
And he goes up to some, you know, like ensign or whatever, and it's like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, that lady's not talking to you, pal.
So that's one fail, right? So it's like, yeah, obviously, like, I want to grow up normally. Like, I'll have my childhood. I'll learn what I need to learn, et cetera. Also, I might be a god person, too, like, but for real?
Yeah, I might be, like, a magic Native American. stick around for the series. You'll find that out at some point.
He goes to Geordi, and this is a fucking easy one. Right. Eyesight, boom.
Yep. And you got LB, and he's got like his contacts out and everything, and it's just him there.
You do realize what you've been missing with LeVar Burton with this stupid visor on, because like he starts acting with his eyes. You're like, oh wow, that's like a performance. It's
exactly. Yeah. He's so immediately expressive with his face, and you're like, oh.
That's why actors need eyeballs. Yeah. I see.
And then he gives Worf a Klingon woman.
Before that, he goes, Geordi gets his eyesight, and he goes to Wes, and he's like, hey, not bad.
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Not bad is what Geordi says.
Hey, I think this is totally legal now that you're 20-something years old.
Yep. Now here come those classic Geordi LaForge shoulder pads.
Well, Geordi, it's technically legal. Why is Bones here? I don't know.
You know, I'm still alive in this timeline. I look like a catfish.
Right. How about a mint julep, boys? Come on.
But to sort of straighten him up, because I do think Geordi's probably gay, and we don't do that yet in this show.
Right.
But he turns around and he goes to Tasha. I was like, you're even more beautiful than I ever imagined. Like, nice try, Geordi. Your jaw dropped when you saw Wesley. You're like, oh, and she's really gorgeous.
Yeah, Tasha, you're good too.
And then, he does give Worf this Klingon bride, and they start fucking on the bridge practically.
It's like classic Klingon growl fuck fighting.
They're like punching each other.
Yeah, and you know Worf's heart is a rock.
It's a great Geordi line. And literally, I watched this at work today, and I almost laughed out loud. Like, I almost got in trouble because I cracked out.
I screamed in my house laughing.
What's the line exactly? I think he just goes, Worf, is this sex?
Yeah.
Worf, is this what you call sex?
Yeah.
It's even more dismissive.
And it's crazy, though, because Worf starts freaking out, and he's like, yes, but that I have no place for that in my life now. And he's like, fucking lose it. And I was like, oh my God, it's one thing to turn a baby into a fucking man thing, but this dude is flipping out right now.
And it's such a weird idea. Like, oh, I'm going to get him a wife. Like, I don't know. Like, why not bring him to a Klingon planet where he can do whatever? Like, you know?
I think maybe that's his thing, is like, you miss being around other Klingons. But he's like, sure. There's no place for this. I'm who I am now.
But that's the thing that gets retconned, because like, it seems like in this early show, Worf cannot have any kind of sex whatsoever. Like, you can either have sex with a Klingon by punching her in the face and getting punched in the face.
Right.
Or, and in the last episode, he's like, oh, I can't have sex with a human woman. I'd break her.
Yeah, I'd rip them in half.
But then, like, later, he's just getting it wet all over the place.
Oh,
everybody.
Yeah. He's fucking all over the place. Oh, he's fucking Troy.
Course correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Intercourse correct. How about that? Oh, you like that?
Set a course for intercourse correct.
Geordi, let's set a chart to the clitoris. I need to find out where it is.
But the best one, though, is he looks at Data, and Data's like, don't even try it, motherfucker. Yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking. Don't even try it.
That's so gross. I'm going to make you a human being.
But I was like, awesome. We'd see like Brent Spiner out of the makeup.
Yeah,
but
yeah, thanks.
It is kind of hilarious, though. He's like, stop.
Yeah, just
collaborate.
No,
and listen.
No, no. Yeah. No, no.
Right before all this happens, by the way, I didn't want to miss this. I just noticed it in my notes because it's a great thing. So Picard, Q comes back and he's like dressed as a monk and he's doing all this like holier than thou shit. And he's like, let us pray or like whatever it is. And Picard loses it about prayer on the bridge, first of all, which is, he's like, he doesn't say anything like there's no room for prayer here.
What,
but he's like,
the Taliban?
He's losing it, and then somebody says something. Oh, I think it's also Picard. He's like, you can't listen to this flim flam man. Yeah. And they cut to Worf, and Worf, like to himself, just goes flim flam man. It's fucking hilarious.
What the fuck is that?
But yeah, so the whole freak out happens, and then it's like he says to Riker says to Picard like, how did you know that they'd all do this or whatever?
Yeah, he's like, well, I'm just smarter than everybody.
I'm smarter than you, you fucking cocky piece of shit. Now get out of here, Q. And then it's kind of we're wrapping it up too quickly because he's like, all right, I don't want to be a Q. Yeah. And then Picard's like, oh, Q, by the way, don't you think the rest of the Continuum would be kind of interested to know that you broke your promise about never contacting us again? And he gets like abducted by aliens.
He goes,
like he screams and turns into a ball of light.
Well, the weird thing is, though, everybody gives their gift back. Wes is like, oh, I want to be a kid.
Right.
You know, Worf's like, I have place for this in my life. But Geordi is just like, yeah, I totally want to be blind for some reason.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of like,
okay.
Well, yeah. It's just the natural thing. He wants he wants his life of how it happened.
Sure.
But why the fuck did it take like until after the first feature film that we thought, why don't we just give him bright contacts and that they can be eyeball replacements?
They liked that visor, man.
They did.
They really
liked it. Like, that's a Halloween mask, dude.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah.
But it's insane because LB is a great actor, mm-hmm. but you need those peepers, man. It's so weird.
I was thinking about this on the train today. Do you think that he never has a relationship or does anything kind of even remotely risque because of the Reading Rainbow thing, and he wanted to keep it like PG.
Probably.
That's a good call.
Part of it. Mm-hmm. That's part of it, I think.
So it's like, you know, you can care about reading, but you just have to constantly strike out with man, woman, or alien.
Get everybody a weird arm pat.
So exactly.
I think TNG really wins this week.
I do too.
Oh, yeah.
I was totally bored by that TOS episode.
Yeah, it was too limited production value. And this, I mean, Q is just a force.
Delancey, man. The dude is great.
They do a good job of not overusing him, but they almost underuse him. Like, you do want, like, now that the whole show exists, you kind of want 5 more Q episodes, probably.
Yeah, and the thing that's awkward is when you get Q on the other shows, which happened.
Not on
all of them, but he definitely makes appearances on Voyager, and I think he's on a Deep Space Nine.
I wouldn't suppose.
And you're kind of like, no, because you know what? I don't give a shit unless he's butting heads with Picard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the dynamic. You want the dynamic.
Because, and I mean, the series finale is amazing, and mm-hmm. a lot of that is because it's fucking Q. And
they know what they're doing. They knew where their bread was buttered.
How do you not get Delancey in one of those motion pictures, though? That's a fucking movie.
There should have been a Q movie.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like Q with like a movie budget?
Like, not Nemesis.
Exactly.
Do a Q movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or not First Contact either.
You know, fucking do a Q movie and just still call it Nemesis.
Boom. Yeah, sure.
You start. Yeah, he was fucking Picard's Nemesis. Yeah. There it is. Fixed that. Man, let's go back in time 15 years and fix that movie.
Okay, let's do it.
No, Q, we have to keep the timeline as it is. We need the third movie to be fucking terrible.
Yeah, a total hands-down TNG winner, I think.
Oh, yeah. Clear winner.
Also, because you know what? Don't make me watch a bunch of Star Trek where we're just doing research.
Yeah.
It's all that. It's like medical research and science experiments.
Oh, this aggressive disease. Great. Cool.
That's the Nexus for this month. Thank you again for subscribing to our Patreon. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Bonus shows behind this subscription wall. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.